And now to the story that all of America is talking about. Last night, Governor Sarah Palin took the stage at the Republican National Convention and made history. She is the first female vice presidential candidate in the history of the Republican Party, and she came out with her gloves raised.
You know, they say the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? Lipstick.
Let's get details now from Farai Chidea, our very own. She is at NPR's convention studios in St. Paul, Minnesota. So, Farai, what did you think, and what did the audience seem to think?
Well, Tony, you got to remember that the audience was ready for some red meat. She gave it to them, talking about Senator Obama as a community organizer in a derogatory way, essentially saying that a community organizer is a little bit like a small town mayor, but that the small town mayor actually has responsibilities. The question really is not what the people in the hall thought, but really what swing voters thought. And I think in this election, you have a number of swing voters or unpredictable voters. Some of them are these first-time voters and young voters who may not have a track record of affiliation with a party. And some of them are conservative Democrats or people who supported Hillary Clinton who may be either interested in someone who's more socially conservative or someone who's a woman.
I understand that you did speak to some people on the floor, and we have some clips. You want to set that up, or should I?
Well, you know, News & Note spoke to Darlene Mathis, and she is a member of the Senatorial Majority Network, and she actually watched the speech from the convention floor. Let's take a listen.
She's going to be good for the country, and especially all women, all nationalities, all women's issues, as far as children, schooling, you name it. She's going to be sensitive to all the needs of America and America's females. I think she was just like a woman.
Farai, here's my question. What do you think? There were many points that she hit, and some she hit very hard with regard to the opposition. But what is it that you think about what she said that seems to resonate the most and will stick with those who are supporting her and those who are considering supporting her and John McCain?
Well, let me back up a little bit. One of the previous speakers was Michael Steele, African-American, former lieutenant governor of Maryland, now runs GOPAC. And interestingly, he's the second black person in a row to run GOPAC after J.C. Watts, conservative, you know, think-slash-action tank. Now, he got people chanting about drilling oil, you know, and I think that Governor Palin, among other things, is really talking about a theme that keeps coming up, which is that America needs energy independence, and the way to achieve it is somewhat different than the Democrats. The way to achieve it is through drilling in Alaska and other parts of the U.S. that have oil. That's very controversial, and that's very much a party split. That's kind of more on the economic side. And on the social side, she's a strong social conservative, definitely not in favor of abortion rights. And so those are both different angles that she cuts at.
You know, you mentioned Michael Steele, and there were other speeches in addition to Steele's last night. We heard from Mitt Romney, from Rudy Giuliani, Mike Huckabee, all of whom were former GOP presidential hopefuls. They went on the offensive, of course, against Obama. Talk a little bit about their appearances and what struck you and what struck the audience.
Well, you had a series of strong speakers. Michael Steele was strong. Huckabee was strong on the social conservative issues. Mitt Romney, and actually Huckabee was also strong on economic issues, basically saying, in essence, that he grew up kind of on the lower income side, and what he wanted to do was make sure that he could make money as a capitalist and not someone who relied on government. So that's a strong theme that he struck. But Mayor Rudy Giuliani really drove a lot of points home, and his was kind of an attack speech on Senator Obama, but also raised the question, what is it that America deserves to give a woman? And he said, how dare they question, now the media, Democrats, if Governor Palin has enough time to be with her children, when did they ever ask a man that question? We're going to talk more about that later in the show, but I think the fact that Rudy Giuliani is bringing up the feminist slash mother issue is fascinating.
Let me give you a sports analogy. I know that you're not a big sports fan, but follow me on this because it's baseball season. And in baseball, you normally have the first three batters come up to the plate to try to set it up for the fourth batter, who is known as the cleanup hitter. So last night you ended up having Mitt Romney, Rudy Giuliani, Mike Huckabee, ostensibly in the setup position for Sarah Palin coming in to, you know, knock it out of the park. Do you think that she did that?
Again, I think it depends on who you are. One thing that I found interesting was that some Democrats or liberals said, oh my goodness, this is the first time that the McCain candidacy looks viable. That alone is a sign that people are taking her seriously. They may have been upset about it, you know, that she came off perhaps better than people thought. But I also think part of it is what former President Bush, not the sitting President Bush, called the tyranny of low expectations. After her family issues, a lot of people didn't know if Governor Palin could really bring it home, and she definitely did for the party.
You know, one of the things that was said about the speech, there were some had low expectations, some perhaps had higher expectations. One question was whether or not she would have a hand, or to what extent she, Sarah Palin, would have a hand in the preparation of her own speech. And I read somewhere, I don't know if this is true or not, that the speech was intended to be 17 minutes but ended up being like 37 minutes or so. Do you know what happened?
Well, there's definitely the hand of the speechwriter, and also we as journalists generally, right as the speech is starting, get notes of a transcription, but she definitely went off at certain points. Like the hockey mom pit bull lipstick thing was an ad lib that wasn't in the speech. So in general, the speakers have speechwriters, as you well know and you've been covering, and whether or not they ad-lib extends the time and changes the tone.
I guess the other question is whether or not this is going to put pressure, if that's the right word, on the nominee himself to come out and deliver a speech that is probably not going to be as energizing as hers was. Let's face it, John McCain is not the same level of speaker, but it puts pressure on him to deliver, doesn't it?
The question I have is whether or not he can tell his own story. Not because he can't, but because so many people, almost everyone who came up, has already told the John McCain story. So what I'm going to listen for is whether or not he tells his own story at all.
All right. Well, hold on a minute, Farai. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and continue this conversation in just a moment. This is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. We're going back now to Farai Jadeja, who is at the Republican National Convention. Farai, to pick up on the point before we went to the break, one of the things that was anticipated, I believe, by people watching and listening to the governor last night was how she would handle the issue of her family and the controversy that has surrounded that. Do you get a sense that the inclusion of the family was, what sense did you get about the family in terms of how they were shown and how they were made reference to in her remarks?
There were really a subtext in her remarks. At the end, as with the Democratic convention, the presidential nominee, in this case McCain, sort of came out and did a cameo. And basically all he said was, you know, hey, wasn't she great? And doesn't she have a great family? That was really just a line that Senator McCain used to wrap up the night, come out, give hugs to her whole family who was there. She did talk about, you know, the high points of her family, how her son is about to go off to Iraq, her 19-year-old son, and how she and her husband have been in love for 20-plus years. And they all sat there. They looked quite attractive, as have, you know, all the political families here. One thing that I think is interesting is that very few members of Congress, I'm not sure about the governors, have sons or daughters who are deployed in Iraq. But here you have Governor Palin's son going to Iraq, Senator Biden's son going to Iraq, Senator Obama, obviously, his kids are too young. John McCain has kids in Iraq as well as having served. So this is a very military family friendly set of political teams, and that's fairly unusual.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We know that yesterday some of Sarah Palin's speech was given in advanced form to the media to give us an idea what she was going to say. Have you had a sense yet of what McCain is going to say, or has his camp begun to distribute an advanced copy of his remarks?
We generally get them the night of and right before the speech, so at this point I don't have it. Yeah, you can hazard some guesses. A lot of it will be no doubt about national security. Some of it will be praising Governor Palin. We don't have the exact script, but really the question is how much of his own war story will he tell? Because literally, like 6 or 7 speakers over the course of these just 2 days of the convention have told all or part of his military story. So I don't know how much of that there is for him to tell.
Yeah, they've left, give him a chance to talk about himself. You're absolutely right.